Welcome to the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast with Vicki Nethling. You are about to discover impactful lessons that help you grow as an individual, grow your confidence, and find the positive and good within you, so you powerfully and authentically become the best version of yourself. Be sure you visit our website at www.findyourleadershipconfidence.com. While you're there, subscribe to us via your favorite network. Now tune in, get ready, and enjoy the journey of emerging as a leader of exception in the 21st century.
Welcome everyone to the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast. I'm your host, Vicki Nethling, coming to you from Roswell, Georgia. The goal of this podcast is to bring topics and guests that will empower you to become that confident leader and take your business and your life to the next level. Today, I am very pleased to have with me Axel Meyerhofer as my guest. And let me tell you a little bit about him. As a retired Air Force officer, Dr. Axel Meyerhofer started his first company in 2005, focusing on consulting, employee skill development, and program management. These areas remain in place these days within his business and have grown internationally. Axel has always had a love for education and helping people help themselves to become successful. As a business owner, he began thinking about applying profits toward retirement, and research clearly indicated that owning real assets would be the best way. It also is the path that government supports the most. This led to the development of residential real estate investment portfolio currently worth about $1.5 million. It's still growing, and many lessons Axel learned are now available for him to teach, coach, and mentor people. On his journey, Axel now has built many relationships, learned about the pitfalls for purchases, and made good and bad decisions that ultimately resulted in reaching economic independence. So I thought we would talk today about leading in the age of AI. AI is the new industrial revolution changes. And so we're going to have a bit of fun talking about where we can go with AI today. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Axel Meyerhofer. Hi, Axel.
Hey, good to have you on. Thank you.
It is really exciting for me. I love talking to people about AI. I think that it's almost like when the internet first came out, or, you know, for me, even introducing me to computers, it was like all of the possibilities that could be there. But before we get into all of the meat of this and the heart of the conversation, I thought, please share with everyone, where do you live? Where do you call home?
Yeah, we live basically in two locations, in San Diego area and in Spain right now.
What part of Spain?
It's close to Alicante by the beach in a town called Albia.
Nice. Just put me near water. That's all I need to care about.
Yeah. Well, we could, if you were here, we could do this at the beach 3 minutes away from here.
So nice. So I gave, you know, the business side of your life, but, you know, please share your story about the journey that took you from a young college age guy to where you are today, and what that journey entailed.
You've been around for a little while. I have too. So that would be a really, really long story. So I try to keep it concise. Basically, what happened is I had always been fascinated by flying, and I think it got triggered because my uncle was an executive at Lufthansa. So when I finally got to the point, you know, getting ready, basically in the German system, it's a little bit extra on top of high school. And when you graduate from that, you apply for jobs or you go to university. So I applied at Lufthansa, and they have a very intense program to test if you have what it takes, so to speak, you know, the right stuff kind of
yeah,
thing.
right.
And I went through all of that and did all the tests, you know, the written tests, the physicals and stuff like that, and then was basically just waiting what would happen. And ultimately, they sent a letter and said, you passed everything, but we are in the position to have to tell you that we don't bring in new people right now because of the economic environment. And that was in the early 80s when there was like super high inflation and stuff like that.
Right.
So I was there and saying, okay, so I passed, but what do I do? I mean, if I can't, and it wasn't like nowadays where you can say, well, if not this airline, just another one. In Germany, Lufthansa was it. So I was like, okay, well, how do I still realize the dream of flying? And my mom, who was working as a civilian in the Navy, told her boss, who was an admiral, about this, how down I was that I passed, which is not that easy, and then not getting hired. And he said, well, if he's so much into flying, why doesn't he fly for us? Meaning like the Navy. Right. And she said, okay, well, how does he do that? And he gave her a little thing and said, let him go and send him there. I gave him a call. So I went to the recruiting office for the Navy and said, hey, this admiral said I can fly for you. What do I need to do? And he said, well, the first thing you need to do is learn how to drive a boat. I said, well, no, I want to fly. He said, well, if you don't want to learn how to drive a boat, go to the Air Force. So I went to the recruiting office for the Air Force. They said, yeah, you can do this with us, but you have to go through all the tests. I said, oh, no, I don't. I have this thing here from Lufthansa. They said, no, we don't accept anybody else's test. You have to do ours. So I did basically their tests the same thing and went through, and they hired me, obviously. And then I did 22 years of flying for the Air Force in Germany half the time, and in the U.S. the other half time for the U.S. Air Force. And it's very unusual story, but I don't want to bore you and your audience with that. So basically then got out, because at around early 40s, you just don't have the physical strength in your body anymore to sustain that stress. It's not like an airliner. I could have probably flying airliners till 65 or so. But so I basically got out, and the question was, what do I do next? I got hired very quickly as an executive for a software company. And realized when I got my first Air Force pension check, so to speak, I'm looking at it, I'm like, sorry for the French, but holy shit, I will never be able to live off that. I need to somehow get some additional retirement money together. And started looking around. And now if you take into consideration that that was around 2002, 2003, that was exactly when the dot-com bubble burst. Mm. So I thought, okay, stocks can't be it. So what else is out there? And that's how I started getting into real estate. And you mentioned, you know, I started my own business in 2005 and still have it and still operate it, but I kept investing in real estate. And I guess fast forward to today, what really happened in the last 4 or 5 years is that people, when they ask me, what are you doing? I always started telling stories about my latest investment or my latest discovery or stuff. And I guess I must have told the stories interestingly enough for more and more people to say, you should let other people do the same. You like teaching, you like educating, like you said, Vicky. And I said, yeah, that's actually true. Maybe I should. And so we started initially very simple with just a website and putting some information on LinkedIn and stuff. And then it grew from there. And now I would say more than 60% of my, you know, weekly or daily activities is basically related to helping people help themselves become successful by partially educating them on how do you actually do it. And actively helping them to find a house, to find lending, to find insurance, all the things. And it is complex, but it's not complicated. And I like that I'm basically only sharing the things that I have done anyway, right? And that I use on a daily basis. So for anybody who comes to join our community, or as I call it, our tribe, they basically participating in the things that I have developed in the last 15 years or have created relationships with. Nobody is ever forced to use what I use, but they can, right? And so it's just shortening the whole time it takes to get from, okay, I think I have some money that I want to get to work for me, to actually doing it, right? And it's super, super gratifying when, you know, if it, let's say you had done this and we had worked together for like 5-6 months, and you finally just yesterday had the closing of your first investment property, and you call me and say, hey, Axel, I got it. We just closed. I'm now the owner of my first investment. That's just, you know, I can't really put that in words how invigorating that is.
It's like whenever you have your kid that graduates from college, or
Right.
or for me, you know, when my daughter had I don't know, when her first child got through kindergarten and went into first grade, it felt like I had anything to do with it. But it you know, it's just certain things in life give you that kind of self-gratification, I guess. You talk
Well,
about
one thing, if I may say, Vicky, one thing that's interesting to me lately is that so many people initially, when they join us, are really somewhat skeptical that it can be done. And they bring all kinds of the stuff that the media tells them. And then when they actually take the first step doing it, right, that kind of gives a whole new level of conviction.
I know my mother-in-law, her husband died when he was 47. And so she worked until she was 65, but just as a bookkeeper kind of thing. And the good thing was that her husband and father-in-law owned a car dealership, and then they invested that money into buying a property that ended up being a grocery store property. And when they sold that property, they made $300,000. And that's what really sustained her to be able to live a nice life in retirement, and just that one property. So, so my question is, you know, that was a chunk of property that cost a little bit of money. What do you typically advise people to start in, you know, what is that bankroll that they need to buy that first property, I guess?
Well, there is obviously a whole broad variety of properties out there available in the market. And what I initially, before we really go into the actual potential properties to buy, I always spend some time finding out what is really your goal and where are you in life, right? So if somebody is, like, let's say in their 30s and 40s, and they say, okay, I would like to have the option not to have to work anymore in 10 years from now, then obviously the goal goes more in the direction to say, how can I find investments that generate relatively high cash flow or passive income? If somebody says, okay, I want this for the really long term, like I have no problem with working until 65, I'm now in my mid-30s or mid-40s, so I have a 20-year time horizon, and then really want to reap the maximum benefit of these investments, I would say, okay, then in that case, you might not really focus so much on the max cash flow. You might want to focus on getting investments that are brand new right now. It's called, in the jargon of the industry, it's called built to rent. So some contractor builds a house, but everything is kept in mind to make it so that tenants, on the one hand, have a nice experience living there, but also while they're wearing and tearing it, it's not constantly in need of expensive repairs. Quick example on that would be, people normally, if it's your house or my house, we would probably like to have nice thick carpet in the bedrooms. The problem is, if you have that with tenants, you have to rip out the carpet every 3 to 5 years. Yeah. So what does somebody who does it for investing do? We basically say, put hardwood floors or put tile or something along those lines that you put in once and never have to do it. Yes, initially it's a little more expensive, but then you're basically good to go.
Right.
So that's important initially to say, what's your time horizon? What's your goal? But then when you come to the question you asked about, so where can we even start? What is a number that we can start? It typically starts around somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000. Because when you think about, that's about the minimum down payment that you need for properties that are freshly renovated in good neighborhoods and performing well.
And so in your website, you talk about 1031 exchange. Could you tell us what that is?
Yeah, let's say we just coincidentally, I didn't know that we would get there in this way, but I just mentioned one person decided from the get-go to take brand new houses, and somebody said, no, I want maximum cash flow, so I buy renovated houses, which are cheaper, but make more cash flow. So let's say we fast forward 5, 6, 8 years, and now you own a number of these renovated houses. And you say, okay, well, now I realize I really don't want to work till 65 anymore. I really think this idea of only like 5, 6 more years is kind of nice, right? So now a 1031 exchange is a number in the tax code for the IRS, which basically says if you have a property and you exchange it for something very similar, then we don't charge you any gains that you had from that original property. So if we had that little property we started out with, let's say for $80,000, and now 5 years later, it's worth $100,000. Normally, you would have to pay taxes on those $20,000. But if you say, I take 123 Main Street renovated property and exchange it for 456 Eloquent Road, brand new neighborhood, that's a single family home for a single family home. And the tax man, government says, oh, nice, Vicky, that you do that. You're going to continue to offer real estate to the public. So we don't want you to be hampered in that. And therefore, we don't charge you any taxes.
Perfect. Excellent. So you talk about the two different kind of clients you serve. Are you finding now after the pandemic that there is more of the younger side, I guess, than those that are approaching retirement and thinking, oh gosh, I need to do something more with my retirement money or whatnot?
No, I wouldn't necessarily say it has much to do with the age. I have found it has a little bit more to do with two other things that probably resonate quite a bit with what you typically speak about. The one is a certain level of self-confidence that people reach at different age levels, right? Some people are very self-confident early on in their life and they know exactly what they want. In others, it takes a while. But when a certain level of self-confidence is reached, what I'm finding is that means you're no longer afraid that you somehow couldn't sustain yourself, which then kind of flips a switch to say, okay, since I know what I know and what I'm good at, and there will always be a demand out there, that's kind of the self-confidence that I mean. So then I can take a certain amount of my assets, meaning my money, and invest it in something where it's not clear necessarily at that point, do I do this investment so I don't have to work at all anymore, or just do I do this investment because there are five different ways on how I can make money when I actually invest in real estate versus like one way that you can make money by investing in the stock market. So that switch, if that has flipped, regardless at what age, that's one community. The other community of people is, that might sound a little weird, and it's also independent of age, is people that have gotten disappointed by something they invested in and didn't do what they expected.
Yeah.
Right. And so I've had many people, especially in 2022 and a little bit into the first half of last year, that had spent quite a bit of money by advice from so-called experts into the stock market. And there were really only like a dozen stocks. If you picked those, any one of those dozen or all dozen together, you would have had a good year. Everything else got completely trashed. And guess what? Most people were not in that one dozen that performed. Yeah. So they got really hammered. And they basically, and this is, I think, human nature, they say, well, I tried this. It completely ripped me. Right. I'm maybe even below what I was when I first invested the money, let alone make any profit. I need to find something that's safer. And when you just think about what is kind of known, we all kind of know this. We don't need the media or a college degree or stuff to say on the comparative safety, everybody knows real estate is just safer as any kind of speculation.
Yeah, and everybody needs houses. You know,
yeah, exactly. And Maslow's thing is, you know, shelter, food, and safety. And, you know, so that's I always say, you know, I did the safety for 22 years. Now I'm actually helping people and myself to provide shelter, and we all need to eat.
That's right. Exactly right. Well, and one of the things, you know, when we think about this too, that maybe making them more risk averse to doing this is they say, well, I don't want to be a landlord. So, and, you know, I've interviewed several people on this subject before. So talk to us about how you have that passive income, but don't have to get out the hammer and nails and all the other things that come with being a owner of property.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, thank you for that question. It's such an important question. I mentioned when I got out of the Air Force that I got recruited into an executive role for a software company. That software company was located in Santa Barbara, California. Probably
I love Santa Barbara.
Really, really up there when it comes to what are the top most expensive places to live. So for me, when I realized I wanted to do something in real estate investing, it was pretty clear it would take me like three lifetimes to get the first down payment together. And I still wanted to do real estate, but I knew I couldn't do it in the Santa Barbara area. So I started looking around, and what I found is something called a turnkey provider. And a turnkey provider is a company that says, okay, we know that some owners of houses don't take good care of them. And that happens in good and in bad neighborhoods. So what they're looking for is houses that are potentially good houses in a good neighborhood, but that have been basically fallen in disrepair. And they buy them for the cheap. Right. Oftentimes they fall in disrepair because, you know, the original owners die and then the kids own it, but don't want to do anything, what have you. So they buy it for cheap. Then they have their crew that goes in and renovates it down to the studs, new electric, new plumbing, new all of that. And then put it on the market at market rate, which is where we come in and say, okay, if like for me, most of the properties that I have for myself and for all our community members come through these turnkey providers, never show up on Zillow or Redfin or anything.
Yeah.
And they say, okay, so here I have this three bedroom, two bath house. We just finished renovation. You can have it for $165,000. And we estimate, because we're experts in that area, this is where our company is, that we can get $1,700 a month in rent. So we basically buy it from them, put the financing on, which I mentioned, we also have the lender access. And they are then the ones who actually found it and renovated it are also the ones who manage it for us. And all we do after we went through the paperwork is once a month spend about 45 minutes on the phone to say, how is my portfolio doing that you are managing for me? Which is also, I mean, you have the term leadership in your podcast. I'm really big on trying to teach people who become members or clients in our community how to be the leader of your company, your investing company, and how you actually manage and hire and organize and run and lead these different entities. They're not really employees, but you have a bank working for you. You have property management working for you, insurer working for you. You might have landscapers working for you. Whatever, right? Like CPAs and so forth. So over time, this little LLC that you start for the purpose of organizing your investments has these service providers. And you need to become the leader of that organization and hopefully organize it in such a way that, like I just said, for the turnkey provider, you don't want to spend more than an hour a month.
Yeah. Perfect.
And there's no hammers and no toilets and no nothing, because that's what you hire them for.
I know. And so describe how some of the challenges that someone might face in the beginning and how you can overcome them, I guess. And when you just started this and you didn't have all the answers, in your background story, you talked about some of the downside that you had until you lessons were learned, right?
Yeah. Well, there are a couple of important things. One is when you're totally new and you don't have anybody who can mentor and coach you into this like we do now. And when I started, there was nobody. I was on my own. And all I knew was whenever I actually got into any form of real estate, I needed a real estate agency. Now, the one thing is that obviously they get a commission for finding a property. But it's also, and I'm not mad about them or something like that, but there's a certain self-serving aspect to it, right? Where, you know, yes, nowadays it's a little better and you can go on Zillow or Redfin and search for properties yourself. But at the time when I started, you were basically dependent on the real estate agent. And even today, if you find something that looks good online, and you say, hey, who is the agent? And you get in touch with the agent and say, here's what I want to do. This property that you have listed there, I want to turn this into investment property. And they say, oh, I wouldn't do this in a horrible neighborhood. Now, keep in mind, we're doing this in an area where we believe we have high performance, not necessarily where we live. Like imagine like Santa Barbara and you're investing in Ohio. Well, what do? You believe what they say. And they say, but I have this other property, right? You see how this works. So, on your own, I would say I'm a living example that it's possible, but I think today it's even harder to find the few really trustworthy, well-organized, well-working turnkey providers. And the real risk that you take if you try to do it on your own is only that you have to fail a few times until you find a good one. where I'm saying, yeah, you could do this. It's kind of in the German, since we both have German heritage, right? There's a German word called Lehrgeld. You're basically paying for your mistakes.
Yeah.
Right. So you can do that, or you can say, okay, well, is that more expensive? Or I join the community that Axel has built at Ideal Wealth Grower, and I don't even have to look at that. I only work with people that are not on Zillow who have sold our community dozens of properties. And every month they have to perform because we have that 1 hour call with them. Mm-hmm. Right? And they have to basically show us in their, if you want to, like performance review, like we're not doing this 6 months or 12 months like you do in a job. We do this every month. How did you perform for me? Right. So if you think about it in that way, it's really reducing those things. And for me, you know, I like this idea of paying it forward. Mm-hmm. I paid a lot of Lehrgeld, but I don't want other people to have to do the same thing.
Awesome. So we're running out of time, but I just wanted to, and I think you started to talk about this, but you have the Ideal Wealth Growers IWG mentor program. So just give us a little bit more about what that is and what its mission is.
Yeah, it basically has two parts or two variations. One is a 6 months and one is a 12 months version. The 6 months version is basically aiming to help you to get the basic stuff in place so you can successfully complete your first purchase or your first investment. That's about realistically what we can do. And I try my best with biweekly meetings and stuff to also educate you about what we're doing, so you're not blindly just following what I'm saying, but you're learning a little bit. In the 12 months program, we can obviously go a little further. Not only do we get you the first and maybe the second property, but I'm also teaching you how do you protect yourself? Why should you have this LLC? Why do I want you? And how do you become the leader of this LLC? What kind of, we didn't talk much about what kind of AI and other tools can you use to both run your business and get more information? And then also, depending on what your intention is, for me, what I'm always trying to find out, and if somebody says, yes, I want that, then obviously help them, is do you want to ultimately develop a portfolio that not only gives you passive income, that potentially covers all your life expenses, but that you can ultimately turn over to your kids and their kids, that builds a legacy for you, and that is basically securing that they, for example, never have to take a student loan. Yeah. Right? If that is part of it, that is part of what I call the overall protective package. I'm not selling anything in that direction, but I'm basically teaching you and giving you access, just like to the other pieces, on how can you get a trust set up? How can you have an estate plan? How can you have the right organizational structure so that you and your family is protected and the future generations are also protected? So that's kind of the difference. The first, the shorter version is, let's focus mainly on how do we get into the investing thing and you learn everything you need to do this and maybe keep doing it yourself after 6 months. And then if you stay with us for up to a year or at least a year, then we go deeper and do more stuff that goes beyond just investing.
So are there AI tools that help in that?
Well, for example, one AI tool that is pretty cool is when you want to know, I have a property that Axel recommended to me from one of his turnkey providers, and they claim, I mentioned this example, 160,000, 1700 rand. Is that realistic? Mm-hmm. There are, for example, AI tools where you can say, I put in the address anywhere in the United States, and it pulls electronically right. all the data from the county assessor and the tax agencies and stuff like that, and tells you within the last 6 months, what other properties of that particular kind, that 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1200 square foot house, of that kind, what have other properties within, and you can actually select it, 0.5 mile, 1 mile, 2 mile, 3 mile radius rented for. And so if you see that everybody is, when you get a list and a little graphic and stuff, and if you see everybody rents between 1600 and 2000, you and I would say, okay, 1700 looks realistic. Yeah. If you see everything rents between 1000 and 1500, then you probably know, well, Axel is stretching it. I would never do that, but you know, so that's kind of one of the tools that we use. Then we have tools where you can basically plug in all the numbers And it calculates for you if the suggested or expected cash flow can really happen. And you can say, well, if I get an 8% mortgage, how is that? Yeah. If I get a 9% mortgage, if in 3 years mortgage rates go back down to 5%, what difference would it make to my cash flow? Right. So some of these tools are calculators. And on first glance, you would say, well, how is that AI? The thing is, what it also does in the background is to say, what's the historical development of both the value and the rent in that area based on historical data? And it brings it down to your address. Right. Yes. In the past, you had to do tremendous research to do this. And now a lot of the data, especially for the government agencies and MLS and all that stuff, is available online. And these AI tools basically aggregate the data and then answer your questions, which is, you know, how much cash flow can I make now? And how much cash flow can I make if interest rates go down back to 4 or 5% in 3 years from now? That used to be a really tricky thing to do. And now it takes 30 seconds.
So I remember, you know, when I was a project manager and we used to call those what if tools, and they didn't do it in hours or seconds or minutes. It was like still weeks of time that you spent putting those scenarios together. So again, another reason why I love AI. Where else do you think AI might be able to help in this type of investing?
I think it will keep growing in the direction to answer even more sophisticated questions. One of the ones, and we touched on two out of three options a little bit. Mm-hmm. Remember when I said you can have that little renovated house that is performing really well and gives you lots of cash flow versus that brand new house that's obviously more expensive and gives you less cash flow. But I put that in the context of each one of them is being rented to a nice family for as long as possible. Well, what happens if you asked your AI to the question, what would happen if I don't rent it for years and years and years, but only short term, like a vacation rent? What does that do to my cash flow? Or if you say, well, in my market, for whatever reasons you did maybe research to it, you could say, is long-term, medium-term, meaning like traveling nurses or like project, where the project manager gets told, hey, this project is 6 months and we provide you with an apartment or house to live there and work there. So that's medium-term. So you have short-term, medium-term, long-term. There will be tools in the future where you can say, this is the property I aim to buy. Here's all the numbers. What version of performance is the most effective in relation to what I want to accomplish, right? And sometimes it might say short-term rental, you make the maximum cash flow, but be aware, property management costs 30%. So bottom line, you might not really make more money than doing long-term and property management costs 8%. So those kind of things, right, where the what if gets layered upon layered upon layer, that's in the future. That's not quite there yet, but it's coming, I'm sure.
Yeah, all the more reason to get comfortable with what we've got so you can easily pivot to add those other things.
Well, yeah, what I love about it these days is we used to actually have to get some level of understanding what the tool does. And yes, you still have to test it to make sure that it's doing what you're expecting. But if it passes your testing, you really, in the true sense of the word, become a user. And no longer basically a semi-IT person so that you know what goes where and how does it do this and how does it do that and what kind of basic or HTML code do I need to know to change it and all that kind of stuff. So that's really nice. And I find it make it more enjoyable to use these tools than it used to be.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So those of you that are just listening, you should have had a paper and pencil and took notes as we were talking today. Axel gave you a lot of great information, but I'm going to share my screen that has the contact information. We will read for you the websites that he has. So you also can get all this information in my show notes on my YouTube channel. Please subscribe, as well as my findyourleadershipconfidence.com. So for those of you that are just listening in, you want to go to idealwealthgrower.com, idealwealthgrower.com, or idealinvestorshow.com, idealinvestorshow.com. Those are the two websites that will be able to give you whatever information you need. You can also find Axel on LinkedIn. using his name A and then the last name M E I E R H O E F E R. All right, Axel, I'm going to turn it over to you so you can talk about your call to action.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much. One thing I want to mention, you show this on the slide, is we have a little free mindset manual because I really strongly believe if you have any notion of thinking that you might be the victim of the world, the economy, or all kinds of things, I would like to encourage you to just download it, get it for free from us, and become and adopt the mindset of a creator. And the other thing, and I hope this came across, I love helping people, like Vicky said, from the very beginning. So even if you say, I don't know if this is really for me or if this is the right thing, I would highly recommend either go to idealwealthgrower.com or idealinvestorshow.com. And one of the very first things you find is a button that says book a call. Let's just have a conversation. Let's talk a little bit about what you want. And if we vibe together and click together, and if that's a yes, then maybe we want to work together. And if not, then probably learn something.
Awesome. Well, Axel, it's been just really informing, educating, and great fun talking with you. You shared a whole lot of information. I saved the good stuff to the last so everybody could learn about your company and then also get that gift of some things about the AI. So we hope that everyone enjoyed learning a little bit about the potential for you to come become more financially independent using this great way of passive income. So as always, I remind everyone, life is a journey and it's up to you to enjoy the ride. This is Vicky Nethling signing off.
Thank you for tuning into the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast with Vicky Nethling, where we share impactful lessons that help you grow as an individual, grow your confidence, and find the positive and good within you so you powerfully and authentically become the best version of yourself. Remember to visit our website at www.findyourleadershipconfidence.com and enjoy even more great episodes like this one. Again, while you're here, subscribe to us via your favorite network. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast.